Welcome back. You are listening to Green Life Radio on 3CR, and it is 7:45 in the morning. We were perhaps going to try and raise Marybeck Councillor Sue Bolton, but we're having a bit of trouble getting on to Sue. And so, yeah, we might just have a bit of a yarn about the kind of Robodebt Royal Commission and some issues surrounding that. I've got an article at greenleft.org.au at the moment about this, and there's a bit of other coverage at the at Green Left as well, looking at Robodebt. Probably the two main points that I tried to make in my article was, I guess, looking at some of the media coverage of the Robodebt Royal Commission, because some of the media coverage sort of tries to just portray the former Liberal government and the bureaucracy as just bumbling fools. Like, oh, gee, that's silly. They implemented this illegal debt scam by accident. Whoops. Gee, how could they be so incompetent? I think that's a really naive way of looking at this, and just blatantly inaccurate, and a real misreading of the situation. The other coverage, the other main, I guess, line that we've seen in mainstream media coverage of Robodebt is, oh, yeah, they knew it was the wrong thing to do, but they were trying to raise money to boost the budget bottom line, and so that's why they did this unethical thing. I also think that misses the point of Robodebt, because if anything, well, first and foremost, like, when Robodebt was eventually proved to be illegal, and in my opinion, they knew it was illegal the whole way, when it was proved to be illegal, they had to refund all those Robodebts anyway. So there's not actually a real revenue boost for the federal government. I guess they got a bit of a short-term boost, but then they had to refund all that money. In my opinion, the main purpose of Robodebt, and it's the same purpose as having a low payment to begin with, it's the same reason as making people go and do these inane work for the dole tasks and go to these just patronising and pointless meetings with job network providers. It's all about attacking the self-worth of unemployed people, people who've been locked out of the capitalist job market. We know that unemployment is a structural feature of capitalism. It's not a reflection on the worker who is unemployed. It is a reflection of how the system works. And ultimately, having this pool of tormented unemployed people drives wages down, because once people have been through that, been through the ringer of being on Centrelink, and a hell of a lot of people, when they first, you know, move out of home, maybe they go to uni or TAFE and they're on AusStudy or some sort of Centrelink payment. And then maybe in their early working career, we know that youth unemployment is really high. So a lot of workers at the start of their working life are on Centrelink. They have to deal with all this patronising rubbish. They may get a robo-debt in this instance. And the net effect of that is that workers will then take whatever job they can find to escape the grasp of Centrelink. Even if the pay is really low, even if the pay is below award wages, hey, at least I'm not on Centrelink. At least I'm not going to get my payment cut off. At least I'm not beholden to this really steely, harsh bureaucracy that will just cut you off and send you in spiraling into poverty because you've missed some appointment. Like, we've all heard stories of people who go to a job interview. They're trying to do the right thing. They let Centrelink know, oh, sorry, I can't come to your stupid, pointless meeting because I've got an interview for an actual job. And how does Centrelink respond? They cut people off their payment. It's really disgusting. And the overall effect is it makes people want to accept low-paying jobs. It makes people put up with poor treatment at work, all sorts of harassment, unsafe work conditions, because they know the alternative is to be thrown back into that horrible situation of being on Centrelink. And even for workers who've either not been on Centrelink before, or who maybe have not been on Centrelink for 20 or 30 or 40 years, and it's kind of a distant memory, they still know, they still have friends or family who are on Centrelink, and they know that they live in this crushing poverty. They live with this patronizing assaults on their self-worth. And so the impact of driving down wages affects not only those who are directly on Centrelink right now, and not only those who were on Centrelink a short time ago or in the last few years, all workers, like probably, you know, not obviously not high paid workers who are on 200 grand a year or something, but probably anyone on the medium wage of 50 or 60 or 70 grand or whatever, they know that they want to hang on to their job and not speak up and not be a troublemaker and turn a blind eye to their own exploitation, because the alternative is this horrible, undignified experience when you're on Centrelink. And in the case of RoboDot, even if you haven't been on Centrelink for 5 years, they'll come hunting you down like, oh, you're in trouble. You committed the crime of claiming an unemployment benefit or a study benefit 5 years ago, and now we're going to hit you with this completely fraudulently made up debt to sort of whip you and punish you for having committed the crime of claimed a welfare payment.
And I think there's, there's some other kind of takeaway points as well from this as well. But it's also, I think there's a lot of things in this RoboDebt scheme that actually says, I think, a lot about the kind of nature of bureaucratization under the capitalist system, but also where kind of neoliberalization is kind of going in terms of, well, neoliberalism in a sense, where is it sort of going in terms of the atomization of kind of ordinary people kind of under a system? And in fact, I just have one sort of funny example. But you're kind of noticing this in, you know, you're seeing the advert of the kind of gig economy kind of work where, you know, there's a lot of bureaucratization in how individual kind of workers even operate, in a kind of employer-employee sort of relationship. Mm. And I even noticed this in one workplace where basically there was a situation once, where basically all the staffing, had been reallocated. To kind of different sort of workplaces, different, areas. And basically what had to actually happened is basically the company decided that they were going to go put everything through a system that would just reallocate workers. And it all just happened automatically. And it happened in such a way that basically some people got put into areas, like basically got put into different workplace that wasn't even suitable for where they were able to kind of work. And of course it also frustrated a lot of the workers, because basically a lot of the workers who are used to working together, etc., weren't able to work together anymore. So it's sort of like there's almost this sort of disconnect between, and the RoboDebt scheme is, I think, a perfect kind of example of that. And also, I think one other takeaway thing, and this is where, where we're sort of hoping to get Sue Bolton on, but Sue Bolton has actually written about this, in one of her articles on RoboDebt, which is titled, RoboDebt Fiasco Reveals That Centrelink Workers Opposed It. Now, I think this is a good sort of takeaway point that has sort of come out of the Royal Commission, because I guess one of our sort of understandings of how the public sector works is, generally, you have a very kind of close sort of relationship between, you know, management, the senior sort of officials, and the government itself. The senior sort of officials of any sort of public sector kind of bureaucracy are generally the ones who are implementing the kind of worst sort of elements of any sort of government policy. And they're generally quite complicit in implementing the policy. That's why there's sort of like, there's often a principle amongst socialists or left-wing activists who might work within the public sector that they will only sort of accept working in the sort of lower sort of end of the scale. They'll never accept working in management, because if you work in management, you actually have to compromise your values as a left-wing person and as an activist. But one of the most interesting things about what the Royal Commission revealed was there were a lot of low-order Centrelink workers that actually were trying to do their best to help ordinary people deal with the RoboDebt system. Like, they were trying to do their best with all their ability to actually, you know, actually come to a solution that was actually just. And it actually just shows the kind of solidarity that it's actually, that workers actually naturally have, for each other. And that, and this is where the RoboDebt scheme deliberately attempted to kind of break up that kind of solidarity. Because in a sense, for a lot of the Centrelink workers, you know, the ones who are like taking the calls, etc., at the end of the day, I, you know that deep down they just want the best for, you know, the people that they're servicing.
Well, I think there's two things. So there was very early on in the RoboDebt scheme, there was reviews into the legality of it. And those reviews found, no, it's not legal. You can't put the burden of disproving that someone's got a debt on the person that you're sending that debt to. The state is a model litigant, and so the state has to abide by the most ethical principles if they want to raise debts, including to welfare recipients. So very early on, reviews found that it was unlawful, and we know in the workplace, word travels around the workers. So a lot of those lower-level Centrelink workers who are the ones on the phone to these really distressed people who've been sent robo-debts, they're going to know in the back of their mind, this is really wrong what we're doing. We're trying to give people illegal debts and make them pay it. At the same time, the Centrelink bureaucracy, the senior, the higher ups, instructed those very staff, you are not allowed to tell people how to disprove their debts. So if you're on the phone and you take one look and you can see, oh, Jacob was working for Broadmeadows McDonald's. However, the business name that Broadmeadows McDonald's trades under is actually Falling Meadow Crazy Burger Proprietary Limited. Now, Jacob has put down Broadmeadows McDonald's on his wages that he has declared to Centrelink instead of putting down Falling Meadow Crazy Burger Joint Limited. And so the RoboDebt has duplicated that income. Jacob declared $300 of income for that fortnight from Broadmeadow McDonald's, but he didn't declare this other $300 from Falling Meadow Crazy Burger Joint Proprietary Limited. Now, the Centrelink staffer looks at those and is like, oh, okay, the computer has duplicated Jacob's income. He has actually declared that $300, but the computer thinks that he's got this other $300 from some other group, but they're actually the same income, and he has declared it. Now, the higher-ups in the Centrelink bureaucracy have said to the lower-down staff, you are not allowed to draw this to the attention of the person that you are on the phone to. Mm-hmm. It is up to them to figure that out, and if they are not a legal expert, if they don't know how RoboDebt works, if they don't know the intricacies of the difference between a trading name and the public-facing name of this business, you are not allowed to draw that to their attention. So, and from the look of it, from the sound of this Royal Commission, a lot of those Centrelink staff just kind of ignored or you know, worked around that directive from their higher-ups and did, in fact, coach people about, look, if you want to get out of this, you need to point out that this is incorrect and this is wrong. So yeah, it's and in doing that, those staff have put their jobs on the line. So yeah, it's impressive, the solidarity, and it's disgusting that those staff were put in a position where they were like micromanaged by senior Centrelink management. You're not to provide any help to these people. It's our job to kick the crap out of them and remind them that they are dirt, that they are nothing.